This is Colonel McGee, and that's Colonel Hardy. So thank you, everybody. Afternoon, gentlemen. Welcome back to Oshkosh.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Charles, December 7, 1941, the day, of course, Pearl Harbor was attacked. Where were you on that date, and what do you remember about that day?
What I remember, I had gone home from school because of my birthday, but I was also with the Coleridge Taylor Glee Club, leaving Gary, Indiana, going to sing at an evening program in South Chicago. A few minutes after four, we heard that message.
What birthday was that for you?
Oh, my goodness, you challenged me to remember my math.
22.
20, oh, 20, well, to be 21, I think, then, because when I got into the service, I was 22.
22. Well, it gets to the point, and we might as well get this out of the way right now. This December 7th, he'll be 100. And George, you're the youngster here in the group.
I'm only 94. 94.
So of the red tail pilots, the Tuskegee Airmen, how many of you are left pilots?
Well, that's a number. I think we're down to 11, maybe 10. It's hard to keep up with.
No, it's 11 now.
He thinks
he's the oldest, and I'm 11. The youngest of that 11.
Before Pearl Harbor hit, before that happened, what are your memories at your ages at the time, the attitude, the mood in the country before Pearl Harbor hit? What was happening in your lives?
Well, all I can remember is that I had parents and grandparents that go to high school, go to college, and really wasn't aware of that 1925 War College that said I was subspecies of the human race.
Yeah, right. But George, what do you recall about what was going on in the country? What were you doing then?
Well, I was worried. I was in high school, say, and in 1941, I was a senior in high school. And the thing I remember was on December 7th, on Sunday, I was upstairs doing my homework. And I had the radio on low so my mother wouldn't hear it, to the Eagles football game. And they interrupted it to mention that Pearl Harbor had been attacked. I didn't know where Pearl Harbor was. But that's how I heard about Pearl Harbor.
So what happened in the days that came? What happened around you about attitudes, about what was going on in the country?
Well, for me, you know, the country had come out of 10 years of depression and the declaration of war to support our allies in Europe and the Pacific. It didn't change segregation, but everybody was interested and involved and had access to the jobs that were available in the war build up, the enlistments. It was a big change. As I say, it didn't change segregation, but everybody was behind the effort.
Right. And George, what was your sense? You were in high school, yeah.
High school, but I remember Pearl Harbor. It galvanized the country, and I remember Pearl Harbor was the watchword for people. Yeah. And everybody wanted to do their bit. In fact, I was in high school, and some of my classmates were 18. Enlisted in the service before they graduated. That is, they'd graduate, then go in, but they enlisted first because everyone wanted to join the Army or the Navy to fight the Japs, and I remember that.
How interested, if at all, were either of you in airplanes at that point in your lives, at your ages? Were you already hooked or not?
I wasn't one who was hooked, and I'd learned to handle a rifle in ROTC in college. But because I was in school, the draft board wasn't pulling my number. But when I heard about aviation opportunity, I was able to pass exams. And all I can say is, my first flight, I was hooked. So when somebody asks me now, what got you interested in aviation, I just say, I was avoiding the draft.
George, love airplanes as a kid or not?
Well, I built model airplanes, of course, at the time with the rubber band. You wind them up and they fly. I did that, but I didn't intend to be a pilot. It's one of those things. Well, let's see. When I was in high school, I only weighed 129 pounds, see? And I didn't consider myself a warrior of any kind.
But were you too light? Was 129 pounds too light to apply for pilot training then?
By the time I applied, I was 131.
Oh.
So I turned 17 the same month I graduated in June of 42. And it was in 43, the Army said, if you're 17 and a high school graduate, you can take the exam.
Yeah.
So on St. Patrick's Day in 1943, I took passed the exam and physical. I was sworn in as a private. And they sent me home until I turned 18 in June. And then I got orders to report to active duty. And that's it.
And when you went to active duty, though, then did you apply for pilot training at that point?
I applied for pilot training at Tuskegee.
Right.
And so I went to Keister Field for basic training, right. Then to Tuskegee in September 43.
Right.
And the actual pilot training starting in December 43.
Right. You started to say something, Charles.
Well, I was going to say that it was just happenstance that I got into the flying. But as
really?
I say, after the first flight, I was hooked and knew I made the right decision.
So how did you get to the pilot training if it wasn't something you were really going after?
It's interesting. I had passed the exams to qualify and sat back waiting to be called. And this was April of 42. Didn't get called until October. And it's interesting. I had met a young lady on campus and over time, we decided to get married, got married on Saturday. Monday morning's mail said, report.
Was that Kitten?
Her name was Kitten. That's why on my airplane, I named my airplane Kitten. But I also said my crew chief kept keeping that engine purring like one, so paint it on both sides.
We heard in the video, speaking of Mustangs, we heard in the video about that study that was done by the War Department, about Negroes, and saying they were unfit, they were cowards, they were unfit for combat, they were only qualified for menial work in the military, and certainly couldn't be pilots. How did that strike all of you at the time? Because were you aware that that had been written and done?
Fortunately for me, I wasn't aware. Were you, George?
I wasn't aware of it either at that time.
But you applied for pilot training, knowing, as you did, your life of segregation and injustice and all of that. And what were you both thinking about what would it would be like when you got down to Tuskegee in the South?
For me, it was the first trip south, and that was an eye-opener for sure. But fortunately, when I went through in 43, I had classmates that let us know where you can buy gasoline, where you shouldn't go and in town and that type of thing. So it helped that we had classmates who had grown up in the South and kept us from, who at that time were Northerners, kept us on the right track so we didn't get in trouble.
How about George, where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in South Philadelphia.
So also a Northerner. To what extent were you exposed to all of the segregation business and justice when you were growing up?
Well, Philadelphia had areas of racial density in certain areas. And when I went to school, I went to one block to the west to an elementary school, all black, the teachers, the principal, and the students. Then junior high school, I went two blocks east and one block north, and was practically all white at that school, depending on the neighborhood you were in. Then I went to South Philadelphia High School, which is south of me, and a class of 281, only four African Americans in it. So it varied growing up.
Right.
But that's the way the city was distributed as far as races were concerned.
Right. And Charles, what about you? How much were you exposed to all of the segregation and so forth growing up?
Well, life was interesting because I was born in Cleveland, Ohio, but my dad's work took us away her mother had passed many when I was just about 2 years old. So school was segregated there, but when we went from Cleveland to the Chicago area, my brother, sister, and I were housed with the family out on the Fox River, not in Chicago, which was good. There was only one black family in town, and we were living with them, and so education was excellent, and also moved to Iowa, 2.5 good high school years there. There was segregation, but not in the school. There weren't enough blacks for a separate school, so that was good. And then my dad went back to the Chicago area. In Chicago, thumbs down. That wasn't so good because I didn't do anything for 5 to 6 weeks in a segregated school over what I had learned in Iowa, same classes. And I know they said that I graduated 10th and some 400 students, but that education primarily came from 2.5 good high school years in Iowa, not the Chicago school.